By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور
مريس and brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program. It's caused by the name of Rise and Shine. Yes, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Each and every single day we have a new guest, mashallah. Today we have Hadith Sumar Sahib Madani along with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. I think he needs to rise and shine. He looks really tired today. Allahu Akbar. So, Rabbi, you need to, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, get risings. Be, yeah, mashallah, you're generally always shining. I'm loving the beautiful red Imam Sharif. So, you want to.
I'm just going to say, sitting with you, you've no choice, you have to rise and shine.
So, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, each and every single day, we begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. As usual, Malays and brothers and viewers of Manchana, let's begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية صدق الله العظيم.
Let's listen to a nod from our respected Umar. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله دنيا میں حرافت سے بچانا مولا عقبا میں نہ کچھ رنج دکھانا مولا بیٹھوں جو درے پاک پیمبر کے حضور ایمان پہ اس وقت اٹھانا مولا صلی اللہ علیہ یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا حبیب اللہ لم یاتی ناظرک فی نظر لم یاتی ناظرک فی نظر مثل تو ناشد پیدا جانا مثل تو ناشد پیدا جانا جگ راج کو تاج تورے سر سو جگ راج کو تاج تورے سر سو ہے تجھ کو شہ تو سرا جانا ہے تجھ کو شہ تو سرا جانا یادی ناویروں کبھی نوار یادی ناویروں کبھی نوار البحر والا ول موجود گا البحر والا ول موجود گا من بے قصو طوفان ہوش روپا من بے قصو طوفان ہوش روبا من بے قصو طوفان ہوش روبا منج دھار میں ہوں بگڑی ہے ہوا منج دھار میں ہوں بگڑی ہے ہوا موری نیا پار لگا جانا موری نیا پار لگا جانا موری نیا پار لگا جانا یادی ناویروں کا پینا دار لو یادی ناویروں کا پینا دار مثلے تو ناشد پیدا جانا جگ راج کو تاج تورے سر سو ہے تجھ کو شہ دو سرا جانا یادی ناویروں کا پینا دار شو سا خاتم جیسوے پاک ہے اب لے کرم جیسوے پاک ہے اب لے کرم جیسوے پاک ہے اب لے کرم بڑے سنار ریم چھ ریم جھی پر سنار ریم چھ ریم جھم جو بوند عید بھی گرا جانا دو بوند عید بھی گرا جانا لو یادی ناویں یگراج وہ تاج تورے سر سو ہے تجھ کو شہ دو سرا جانا لو یا تین ویروں کبھی نور الدا کا فضل ہارا الدا کا فضل ہارا یگ شولا گلش کا یگ شولا گلش کا یگ شولا گنیش کا مورا تن من دھن سب سب دیا مورا تن من دھن سب سب دیا مورا تن من دھن مورا تن من دھن مورا تن من دھن سب سب دیا یہ جان بھی پیارے جلا جانا یہ جان بھی پیارے جلا جانا لو یا تین ویروں کا پینا گاری یا تین ویروں کا پینا گاری لو یا تین ویروں کا پینا گاری طرز میری نا یہ رنگ میرا نا یہ طرز میری نا یہ رنگ میرا نا یہ طرز میری نا یہ رنگ میرا ارشاد شاہ پا ناطق تھا ارشاد شاہ پا ناطق تھا ناچار اس راہ پڑا جانا چار سرا کا پڑا جانا یا تین ویروں کا پینا گاری لو یا تین ویروں کا پینا گاری مثل تورا شد پیدا جانا مثل تورا شد پیدا جانا جگ راج کو تاج تورے سر سو جگ راج کو تاج تورے سر سو ہے تجھ کو شہ دو سرا جانا ہے تجھ کو شہ دو سرا جانا یا تین ویروں کا پینا یا تین ویروں کا پینا شد شدا جانا جگراج کو تاج تورے سر ہے تجھ کو شگے تو سرا جانا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ماشاء اللہ, a beautiful نعت read there by our respected mashallah Umar bhai. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, elevate his rank in the soul and the akhirah. On today's topic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we have not created the jinn kind and the human kind إِلَّا, except for them to worship me, for them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu
Akbar. Actually, it is extremely important for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason of our creation was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question is, how do we increase our interest, you know, our motivation in worship? Now, we spoke about with Khalid on Tuesday, you know, the reasons for why people sin. You know, what are the reasons, what are the main objectives? One was that they require a reminder. One was shamelessness, they have no shame. One was committing sins is very easy. Yeah. And pleasurable at the same time. Yes, it's
like you presented it in a plate in front of you, or a tray in front of you. Whereas there's hardships to perform good deeds.
Yes, pleasure and ease in performing sins. Mm. And there's hardship, difficulty in performing good deeds. So, you know, that's the reason not to perform good. SubhanAllah. So, my dear viewers of Madani channel, we spoke about sins, mashallah, with Khalid bhai. Now, today we shall be speaking about, not sins, but worship. Now, worship is inclusive to all types of good deeds, or, you know, each and every good deed, it is included and it constitutes worship, does it not? Even making intentions, good intentions, for those things which are considered neither good, neither bad of themselves. For example, eating. Eating is neither a sin, it's not a sin to eat as long as you eat halal food. Neither is it rewardable unless you have good intentions, then it could be rewardable. So all of this is, all of these you can say constitute worship and good actions. Worship, you can say. The question is, how do we increase our love for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
You know, you're mentioning about sins and you're mentioning about good deeds. There's two sayings of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I like to share at this moment in time. That you see, you've got, like I mentioned, that you've got a downhill, the sinning, and it's so easy, and then you've got like an uphill where it's difficult. So you've got difficulty and you've got ease, and the person is automatically inclined towards easiness. So from this, if somebody does fall into that inclination of easiness and falls in within sin, then I think these two beloved sayings of the beloved of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make someone ponder and maybe act upon this, and which will help a person or safeguard a person, which I'd like to share with you. And the first one, wherever you live, keep fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla and do some virtuous deeds after a sin, because the virtuous deed will remove the sin and treat people with good manners. So if you do fall into some form of sin, then try to do a virtuous deed which will erase that sin. That's one of the sayings of the Prophet ﷺ. And the second one, without doubt, the one who performs a virtuous deed after a sin is like that person whose tight armor is pressing against his neck. And when he performs a virtuous deed, one of the links becomes undone. It opens the armor. And when he performs another good deed, another virtuous deed, then another link becomes undone. So there he feels ease. And it mentions, the commentary regarding it mentions that the police show, actually there was an ayah from Surah Hud, part 12, ayah 114. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna al-hasanati yudhibna as-sayyi'at. Translation from Kanzul Iman, that indeed good deeds wipe out the evil deeds. So in commentary of this, it mentions regarding the blessed ayah and the ahadith, that when someone commits a sin, he should try and perform a good deed, perform a virtuous deed.
Actually, you've begun brilliantly, because what you've done, you've linked it on, haven't you? So because we've spoken about sins, and let's just say, you know, how do we move on? So, you know, we've spoken about repentance before also. So we move on by the way you mentioned now, that okay, you perform the sins, but if you do wish to move on and perform good deeds, what, how do you do it? Meaning, firstly, you see, even in Tafsir Ibn Dawi Sharif today, as I was teaching, we spoke about the explanation of the verses, هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And within Tafsir Ibn Dawi Sharif, there's a brilliant point which was mentioned. What was mentioned was that if you are going to paint a picture, if you are going to paint, if you are going to write on a board, for example, the example I gave, tell me, if the board is already full of writing on it, do you just start writing on top of it? You don't begin writing on top of it. Do you first wipe the board, would you not? You'll wipe the board clean. Similarly, if a person was to adorn themselves with jewelry, you know, women wear jewelry in Islam. Now, would they, you know, if they've not had a shower for ages, they've not fixed anything, would they just put jewelry on their bodies? And, you know, they're going to look brilliant, they're going to look beautiful? No, it doesn't work like that. You know, first they're going to cleanse themselves, they're going to make sure they wear clean clothes, and then on top of that, they place the jewelry. These are the examples given by Imam Bidawi, rahimahullah ta'ala. So similarly, the way you mention and sanat, indeed the good deeds, these rid of the bad deeds.
Wipe out, yeah.
So if you wish to, you know, first, you know, we're talking about developing interest in worship, what you must do firstly is rid of the bad deeds. How do you rid of the bad deeds? One thing is tawbah, repentance, to repent. Yeah. Another is a quick solution, you can say. What is the solution? As you mentioned, immediately performing a good deed after it. And by performing a good deed after it, that will do away with the bad deed. MashaAllah, that's a brilliant way of beginning.
And it's actually gaining that enthusiasm and that desire. And what's going to develop that or produce that, then there's different aspects, and inshallah we'll go into them. But I just like to mention that Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghafari mentioned that the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised me that whenever you happen to commit an evil deed, then do some virtuous one after it, because that virtuous deed will remove the evil. So then I, as in Sayyidina Abu Zar Ghafari, they say that I humbly asked, that is saying La ilaha illallah amongst virtuous deeds?
Allah.
And the best of mankind, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, replied, this is the greatest virtuous deed.
Subhanallah.
And some other examples of virtuous deeds mentioned.
So, what you're saying is, let's just say we accidentally committed a wrong deed. Then what we should do is immediately, after, you must consider it to have been bad. Because, you know, it can't be forgiven just like that. No, you think, you know, you have a bit of shame. You have a bit of shame. You think, oh yes, that was bad.
I think you probably spoke regarding this with Khalid, but it's like, you probably covered this, but I'm just going to mention it. For example, somebody's committed a sin. And like they say that the sin, the taste or the lazat or the enjoyment only remains for a little while.
Yeah.
It wears off.
Yes.
And whereas good deed, it stays, you know, the enjoyment, it stays long lasting. Now, somebody's committed an evil deed.
Khalifa did mention that.
You probably will have done that. So somebody's committed an evil deed, for example.
Right.
Now the effects or the enjoyment, like I said, it's only short and it wears off. So it's worn off. So this person's sat now, it's over, the enjoyment's over.
You see,
and
that's
sat.
Why people get addicted, don't they?
So while he's sat and he's... is like in his normal state now, this is where this sort of thinking and these things develop in his mind, thinking. Now, a lot of these things are interlinked, you see. Now, the person who is associated with good company,
we've mentioned this,
those who are associated with other means, which whether it's spiritual guidance, for example. So, automatically when this person has had that enjoyment and it's worn off, when he's sat and it may be on his own, and then this contemplation will, these thoughts will start striking. It's like as if like you've got the angel writing the good deeds. It's as if the angel of who's writing the good deeds is whispering good thoughts now in this person's mind. So his mind is starting to think, and now the regret is starting to build.
Right.
And when that regret is starting to build, this is where motivation of a hadith like this and other means sort of kick in, and a person is encouraged and tries to, and that's where he'll do some good deed which will then wipe
him. So let's just take yourself for an example. This is what we always do. We always speak, you know, we make it personal to somebody. So, you know, the biggest change in your life I can possibly imagine was you committed Dawat Islami.
Allahu Akbar.
Am I correct?
Jiji.
Oh, obviously that's made a huge, because mashallah, I've seen the state of yourself, mashallah, your family also, all in the mahal. And yeah, alhamdulillah,
maybe there's some viewers on Madhi channel that know me and maybe know my past.
Jee, you know, subhanAllah. So where you've come from, what you've come towards. Now, you can speak from a personal sense about, you know, developing your love for worship. So that's what I want. I want you to give me your experience in this, you know, in terms of developing interest for worship. Do you have an interest for worship? Ultimately, being a Muslim, you do. You know, you also wish to do more worship. So
sometimes
how did you develop it?
A person desires to do more than what he can do.
Yeah,
but that's it's all a
a racing game in a sense, you can say. A person wants to do more and he has regret. And this is where then the teachings of Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami, and the beautiful gift that they have granted to the Ummah. That's where the competition, because you contemplate on what you've done. And in the form of Madani Namat, which you probably mentioned Madani Namat yesterday. But this...
Are you sure you just didn't watch that episode?
No, I didn't. I'm just guessing. I'm playing a guessing game, but maybe I'm ticking the boxes. But maybe, you know, you spoke about the Madani Namat. And this immense gift that the founder of Dawat Islami, may Allah preserve our Peer Murshid, that they gave to the Ummah. And just by contemplating, one desires, look, he counts what I've done today. And when he contemplates and sees, okay, this is what I've done. Then he desires and there's a burning inside that he wants to do more. And that's what develops a person to do more good deeds and then progress. And then that way he's also raising his status.
It's brilliant that you brought this up, because this is something I myself have experienced. For example, sometimes you think to yourself, you know, alhamdulillah, being within the Islam, we learn that this is a good act, this is a good act. You know, even things which, for example, after salah, to recite the tasbihat, you know, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar, subhanallah, 34 times, allahu akbar, and also reciting ayatul kursi, allahu la ilaha illahu wal hayyul qayyum, all the way up until the end. Also reciting Surah Fatiha again. Reciting Surah Ikhlas 3 times. Now, you know, reciting the Orad, etc. Now, generally, Tasawwur Bhai, you would think, you know, these things are extra. Alhamdulillah, I prayed my Salah, isn't that enough? I prayed my 5 daily Salah, that should be enough. You know, that should be sufficient. And yes, Alhamdulillah, people, you know, it's good to be proud of yourself. It's a good pride, guys. You know, be proud and say, yes, mashallah, I prayed our 5 daily salah. But then, really, when you begin to fill this card in, Madani in'amat, when you begin to fill this in, this totally changes your mind. Because before, yes, I was proud of myself that, alhamdulillah, I pray my 5 daily salah. I was proud of myself that, you know, I refrain from doing such and such sin, etc. But as you're ticking them boxes, or crossing them, or however it is, your mindset, it changes. So today you put a 0 or a 1, however you mark it, a tick and a cross, you can say. Today you put a cross, or no, I didn't recite Ayatul Kursi after Salat. I didn't recite this after this. I didn't pray all my nafil, all my sunnahs. But at least, alhamdulillah, I prayed my 5 daily salah, haven't I, the things I needed to pray. But then you feel bad, oh, I didn't do this. Exactly.
Is like today's, you can say the center point of today's topic. It's like yearning. How do you develop that yearning?
And this is a brilliant method.
This is, you can say, a masterpiece to encourage that yearning.
It really is, my dear brothers and viewers. If you are to attend this, inshallah, you too will understand. There's nobody that, you see, you know, sometimes even you see the shaitan's task will be also to divert you away from even the Madani Inamat themselves. Just by performing that, automatically this will help you perform the rest of the actions.
You see, you don't like mentioning.
You actually feel really bad, but although you've not done nothing wrong. This is extra worship, isn't it? Although you've done nothing wrong, but when you are putting circles there, or when you are putting crosses there, or I've not read my Ayatul Kursi today, but you think, oh, chill out, tomorrow I'm going to do that, and then that way, yes, I can mark it off. So automatically it develops that love, doesn't it? For performing, and all these acts are worship. This is the today's topic. How do we develop worship? So I wanted to know your personal experience, that, you know, you're coming towards Dawat Islami. Mashallah, you've got a huge responsibility within the Al-Sami. You play a huge role. MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from nazar, from the evil eye, and also bless you. Now, your personal experience, this is what I'm asking for.
See, there, in my own personal experience, Before I
How is it that you develop this love and devotion for worship itself?
The environment. It's like, if I was to place it into a few, it's your environment, your friend circle. Because before I actually came into the environment of Dawat Islami,
right,
I had my ups and downs, and I did try. It's not that I wasn't a salat offering person. I did try to recite. Alhamdulillah, our upbringing from my parents was such that, you know, we had that focus that, you know, we need to read our namaz, we need to recite the Quran. Alhamdulillah,
okay.
You know, I went to the madrasa, I learned how to recite the Quran at a very early age. And alhamdulillah, I did used to recite. I'm not saying I was very punctual, but I was, you know, I was somebody who did recite the Quran Park. I did offer my salah, but you had your ups and downs and you had your gaps in between, and there wasn't that istiqamah, that the continuity. And then what changed that was coming into the environment of Dawat Islami. And when I actually came into the environment of Dawat Islami, there's this goodness around you. And like you mentioned, even this Madani Namaz, that's a goodness. And how it mentioned, like it even mentions in the Madani Namaz, that get hold of one of these Madani Namaz. You see, in the environment of Dawat Islami, we can talk about Madani Namaz, and those people who are already associated with Dawat Islami understand, and they understand how this Madani Namaz works. But those viewers of Madani Channel, or those people who are not associated with the environment of Dawat Islami, to them it doesn't. What is this Madani Namaz? What is this booklet? How is that going to help us to get this encouragement and this devotion of performing good deeds? So for them, this Madani Namaz that I'm mentioning, it mentions in the Madani Namaz that purchase this. Amir al-Sunnah also give the rib of this. They encourage this, that buy the Madani Namaz. It's only a small booklet. It'll fit into your pocket. Just keep it on you. And if you bought it and you've got it, at some point you'll take it out of your pocket, you'll want to look at what is this about. So that in itself is an encouragement, just buying it. So I'd encourage the viewers of Madani Channel to get hold of this Madani Namaz. Buy it and keep it, or put it at home. There'll come a time when your mind will focus and you'll want to see what did I buy, and you'll just open the pages. Mm-hmm. And as you open the pages and flicker, that in itself is contemplation. You'll actually and then if you take it a step further, that one is just buying it or going through the pages, then read maybe one a day. And when you read one a day, you'll want to read the next one. That's how it's compiled. And then you'll read two and maybe three, and as you read them, you'll develop a yearning to actually practice them. And you know, like you mentioned, that these things were extra, for example, Ayatul Kursi. Now today, just say, for example, Sasha Baz, after you read your first salah, you forgot to recite Ayatul Kursi. What's the beauty of this Madani Namaz, and what's the beauty of this environment, that one is reminded again and again? So today, for example, you forgot to recite Ayatul Kursi. When you're contemplating at night, when you're doing the Madani Namaz, when you come across to, did you recite Ayatul Kursi today? And you say, oh, I didn't. So you're going to put a cross or a dot there. So what's that doing? It's going to remind you tomorrow. So that contemplation, that is like a reminder.
That's exactly what
same again in within the environment. I'll remind you, somebody will, you'll remind somebody else. And yeah. This is how the environment of Dawat Islami is such a means that it's like a ship that's taking, you're protecting you from the water, or from the ocean, or from the sea. We're helping each other. It's like tagging each other on and reminding ones that you forgot to do this, or you didn't do this today. Whether it's means of Madani Namaz, whether it means physically, you know, helping one another along. So I really, really encourage that all the viewers of Madani Channel purchase this Madani Namaz. So I'm not asking you to start filling in and become somebody who fills it in, you know, all 72 and act upon all 72. Just purchase it and keep it on yourself.
So keep it with yourself, mashallah. So what you're trying to say, the Surbaiza, our entire day's topic, you've bang within one sentence, fill in your Madani Namaz,
yeah.
Finished.
You see, it's just, it's so compiled with
so many things that is, you're lost for words, seriously. This contemplation, the companions of the Prophet Hazrat Umar, Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such lofty status, they used to contemplate on a night. You've probably heard this many times, yes, through speeches and etc.
Ultimately, yes, they all did. So, you've done it brilliantly, Tasawwur Bhai. But you see, how would you encourage people to... So, you're saying that as soon as a person buys that, this booklet, Madini Inamat, and they begin to fill it in, automatically they will develop...
Even before filling it in? You've purchased, you've got it, haven't you? That's right. One step.
So let's say I went to our local Maktabat al Madina, mashallah, we are born in Bradford.
You purchased
the Madina Inamat, right?
Within a short amount of time, you will have read that booklet.
How?
It's.
Well, because, you know, a lot of times what we do, we'll just purchase a booklet and we'll put it on the shelf.
So many Madini Bahar, so many good news is. That are announced and mentioned, and you've probably read in some of the books as well.
Right.
Why does Dawud Islami do Taqseem Rasail? The Langar of Rasail.
Yes.
We hand them out, don't we?
Yes.
What happens? People take. Some of them don't even look at the cover, they don't even know what it's titled as.
Yes.
But we do that, don't we? How many news, Madini Bahar, good news that you hear?
The first time
person you've given the.
I myself can confirm this because the first time I heard of Dawud Islami was a booklet which was just left, and I picked it up. It wasn't on the floor, it was on top of the sofa. It was in my house. At that time, I never even knew that time existed. I never knew what it was. But I just picked up the cover, and on the back, I saw that Islam is a global non political movement.
The small Nikki that will invite on the back.
Yes, the invite at the back of it. And I saw this, and I thought, wow, this is an organization that's really going to do something. And alhamdulillah, without knowing, I became part of it.
So
it is true that, yes, sometimes a person randomly picks it up. So this is what you're saying, that everybody, they'll buy it. And
this is one means. I'm not saying this is the ultimate. You see, this is something which will develop. See, I mean, we'll go into different things as well. But like, just say that you picked it up, it was at home. Now, when these are being distributed, people take them home. I mean, I'm not saying just put it at home. Try to keep it on you.
Sometimes even take a look.
Just say you've gone home and you put it on the table, on the dining table, for example. You sat there on the dining table. Some other family members walking past, and one other thing is that, have you noticed the titles of the booklets of Amir Al-Zunnah?
Brilliant titles.
They just like they sort of
catch you,
or there's like a pulling towards
right.
it. So the actual title. So when you read the title, you want a bit more. So you think, what's this all about?
And then
you end up reading.
They even underneath they have those little captions also, don't they? You know, a insight to the topics discussed within the booklet. Anyhow,
even there,
we spent a lot of time at the Sabar Bhai speaking about Madina Inamat. Dear brothers and viewers, please attempt to purchase a Madina Inamat booklet. It's about 20 pence. For which you can purchase this from the Maktabat al-Madina. Please do purchase it and try to fill this in. Inshallah,
it is actually available on. You can actually download it on your phone, and you can do
it
from the mobile apps,
applications, and inshallah, you will begin to fill this in and develop and build a love, devotion for worship itself. Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. I'm Rise and Shine, mashallah. Now we have the Sohbah totally walking on fire, mashallah. At the Sohbah, we are going to go to our daily reminder. After our daily reminder, we shall continue with our topic. Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu
ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers, today's piece of advice is upon accountability, taking one's own accountability, reflecting over one's own actions. And this was the way of the pious people, rahimahullah. Many of the pious people, rahimahullah, they would spend the days and nights pondering over their actions, whether these actions are worthy of being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the actions which they were doing, were they for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether they have sincerity in their actions or not. They would ponder over all this. Yet, we fought short in regards to these matters. My dear Islam brothers, today's advice is that the pious people, rahimahullah, they would take their accountability. They would take their own accountability. Meaning, they would ponder over their actions and they would look that whether these actions are worthy of being accepted in the court of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like this, they would grip themselves over these actions and they would tell themselves off and they would work even harder. And this has been the ways of many great pious people, rahimahullah. But sadly today, we wonder and ponder over the entire worldly matters, but we don't ponder over our actions, over the actions related to the hereafter. And it's been the ways of the pious people, rahimahullah, that they would ponder over their actions. The reviver of Islam, Imam Muhammad Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh, writes about Hazrat Ibrahim Tini, rahmatullah alayh. That Hazrat Ibrahim Tini, rahmatullah alayh, one day he sat pondering over his actions. And he thought that he was in hell. And he was wrapped up in the chains of hell. And he was eating the thorns of hell. And he was drinking from the wounds of the people of hell. And then after this, he thought to himself that he was in Jannah, he was in paradise, and he's eating the fruits of paradise, and he's drinking from the rivers of paradise, and he's meeting with the who's of paradise. After thinking this, Hazrat Ibrahim Tini rahmatullahi, he asks his ego, he asks his nafs, whatever you wish will be granted. Neither have you gone into the fire of hell, neither have you entered Jannah, neither have you gone into paradise. Whatever you wish to gain, find the way by doing the actions for it. My dear Islam brothers, just think for a moment how the great pious people, rahimahullah, they would ponder, they would take themselves into accountability, they would ponder over the actions. How would they would have thinking of themselves being in hell and wrapped up in the chains of hell and eating the thorns of hell and drinking from the fluids of the people of hell. And then if this thought of theirs came into their mind that they would be in Jannah and they would be wrapping the blessings of Jannah, they would be drinking from the rivers of Jannah and they would be eating the fruits of Jannah, and then they would tell themselves off that this, if this is what you want to achieve, then work for it. My dear Islam brothers, have we ever sat down thinking like this, that we could be in hell? Or have we ever sat down thinking that we could be in paradise? How are we going to work for that paradise? Have we have worked for that paradise? Have we given time to earn paradise? My dear Islam brothers, this is today's lesson. If you wish to gain Jannah, and we all do, try to work for it. Ponder over your actions. Ponder over your each and every individual actions of yours. So that we can achieve paradise and we can achieve Jannah. Ameen bijahil nabil. Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. ما شاء الله. That was our reminder. The reminder is the same. Coincidentally, ما شاء الله.
I wasn't aware. It's not as if I've listened to that, and that's why we went on to that.
Yes. No. ما شاء الله. It's a brilliant reminder, coinciding with our topic. Today's topic, my dear viewers. Now, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we have spoken about the many inamat. The topic is to increase and develop our love, our devotion for worship. We are going to very soon move on to the hadith, the daily hadith, tasawwur by. Before that, which other manner is there? Which other method is there of developing worship?
Several, and obviously one which we opted about was many inamat. Other is looking at the actions of our pious predecessors. If we look at their actions and how they used to perform the worship and how they used to sacrifice and the difficulties that they used to face to actually go and do this. And there was this incident which I had, and I actually wanted to start with this incident, but because you mentioned something,
yeah,
and I went
been
to
asking
and it
for the last half an hour. Go on then.
So I had this waqia I wanted to start with, and this goes as such, and inshallah from this we will inshallah develop a yearning and interest.
And it goes something like that. Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad bin Muawiyah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, they mentioned that their spiritual guide mentioned to them that once Hazrat Sayyidina Yunus ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam met Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam.
Allah.
And when they met Hazrat Yunus ala nabiyyina alayhi salatu wassalam, they mentioned to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam that take me to that person who is the biggest abid of Zahid, the biggest worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam take them to this bondsman of Allah Azza wa Jal. And when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam look at this person is inflicted with leprosy.
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 Right.
And his arms and legs have deteriorated and they fall apart away from his body. Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam mentioned to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam that I ask you to take me to this to a person who is the biggest worship, the greatest worshipper on the earth, and you brought me here. And what they mention, and then they see this person, you know, his hands and feet have corroded and they're separated away from his body, and they hear this person is saying something, and they hear what this person, this bondsman of Allah is saying. And he says, O my Allah Azza wa Jal, O the purest, for as long as you wish that I benefit from these organs, I benefited. And when you wished for them to be taken from me, they were taken. I thank you for granting me these organs, and I'm happy in what state that you've left me in. O my Creator, if you desire, that your desire is my desire. So what you desire, that I'm happy with that. So then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam that now I've been instructed to take away his eyesight as well.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So then they point towards that Abid al-Zahid, that bondsman, and his eyes droop and his eyesight is taken away. That bondsman speaks again and he says, I am happy. He praises Allah again and he mentions how happy he is regarding this state, and he's happy how Allah,
meaning it's
whatever, he's satisfied with, he shows satisfaction.
Right.
So Hazrat Jibreel then mentioned to Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam that this person, before he was inflicted with all these illnesses, he was very abundant with his salah, and he used to fast in abundance as well.
Right.
So then Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam get that insight. Then they mention that yes, this person is someone who is the biggest worshipper, that no matter what state he was in, that he was happy with. So this person was, or is the biggest worshipper. Then Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam then mentioned that why did they say this to the bondsman? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam mentioned to the bondsman that why don't we collectively make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal that He Azza wa Jal returns your organs back, as in your hands and feet are returned, your eyesight is returned, you gain your eyesight again, and also this illness is removed from you.
Leprosy.
The leprosy, right. The illness is removed from you. And that bondsman, that Abid al-Zahid, says, I am displeased with this. So it's a shocking thing. A person would desire and wish this. So it's a shocking reply that they hear from him.
His limbs have been chopped off.
Basically, they've deteriorated.
Everything.
Yeah, they've deteriorated. Hands and feet, his limbs have deteriorated due to the illness, and they've fallen apart from his body. And then later on, then even his eyesight is taken away. So Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam are offering to this person. Can you imagine if we were offered something? How would we react? But this bondsman, this Abid al-Zahid of Allah, who it's not me and you presenting.
To get a bad example, for example, if I was to say, I'll give you £1 million, just give me your eyes, would you ever give me your eyes? So basically, it's worth more than anything else.
This
worth
price
more than whatever money you're going to give.
But he's being offered now. It's not me and you. So you're offering me £1 million. But here, the offerer is not me and you. The offerer is Hazrat Jibreel
Salaam, right?
The leader of all the angels. So, shockingly, this person says he doesn't desire, he is not happy with that. He doesn't want his limbs and that because he is happy with what Allah is happy with. So then this is when Hazrat Yunus alayhi salam then mentioned that yes, this person is the greatest worshipper.
The greatest worshipper, subhanAllah.
So from this, there's a lot of things to learn. There's loads of different Madinah flowers, but one Madinah flower is that look at this Abidu Zahid whose limbs are taken away, his eyes are taken away, but he is still indulged in the happiness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why were we created?
He's satisfied, isn't he?
He's still satisfied, and yet we, perfect bodies. Look at that, if we start counting about the blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has showered upon us, and you know, we should be satisfied, and then similar to this incident, our hands and feet, our limbs, our eyesight, it's all perfect. Then why are we not thankful? Why are we not worshipping? So these things develop a yearning.
One method of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipping Allah. Subhanallah. My respected audience, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, the viewers of Rise and Shine, we shall now move to our next segment. The next segment is a daily hadith by our respected Maulana Abdullah Madani Sahib. He's a Nazim of Jamiatul Madina, Blackburn. Let's see which hadith he has for us today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, I bring to you today a thought-provoking hadith narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل النار إلا شقي, that no one shall enter hell except the doomed. It was asked, كيلا يا رسول الله ومن الشقي, O Messenger of Allah, who is the one that is doomed? To which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that the person who is doomed is the one who never acts obediently to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not give up sins solely for his sake. Dear viewers of Madani channel, it is very important for us to learn about Jahannam and scare ourselves with the horrific description we receive throughout the glorious Quran and through the words of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned that the depth of Jahannam is such that if a stone was to be thrown into the fire of hell, then even after 70 years, the stone won't reach its base. And the lightest punishment to be given to a dweller of Jahannam is that he will be made to wear shoes of fire that will result in his brain to boil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such acts that lead us towards hell. Ameen, bijahi nabil ameen, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, that also goes brilliantly with our topic, doesn't it? Because one way of developing interest and love for worship is reading about Jannah and also about Jahannam. And when a person reads about Jannah and he witnesses, he understands the beauty,
the rewards,
and the rewards ultimately, then he strives and he wishes to be amongst them who shall be the Ahlul Jannah, the people of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst us. And when he reads about the hell or the fire of hell, then he develops that fear in you.
No, I was just mentioning that if we look at society today and how, and if we look around us basically, look how we strive and desire about worldly things, worldly aspects, worldly statuses. Somebody's got a nice car, for example, you desire that you want that, or you want something similar. Somebody's got a nice, cozy house, look, you know. If somebody's got a semi-detached and you live in a terraced house, you desire. You want to have a semi-detached with a drive and a nice garden.
Right.
So you see somebody who's got a detached house, and you desire, you know, this desire builds in within that you want something similar or better. If better, more than similar. Cars, like I've spoke about, somebody's business is thriving. You want to have similar, if not more. So when we look at worldly aspects, we have this thrive and this desire that we want this, we want this, we want that. Why is it that we don't have that same desire when we see a person and he's reading his namaz with jamaat, all five? Why is it that when we see a person, he's always going to the masjid and back? Whenever we're looking, why do we desire that we always go
so
to the masjid?
So why is it then? You tell us, why is it?
Why is it? Then it comes back to the easiness and the difficulty. But this is what we're trying to do, is make the uphill, make you more energetic to get up that uphill.
Give you the protein
give you the protein shake or the boost, that even the uphill doesn't feel difficult, or a reason or an excuse for you to go for that option.
Allah.
See, for example, if somebody is overweight, and he, for him it's easy to go downhill, but he'll definitely want to take the downhill option and not the uphill. But when
he won't be looking at the uphill,
he won't even look, exactly. He'll say, "Well, you know, this way, yeah, he'll walk that way." But when you've given him that mindset, and he's got that enthusiasm, he'll want to go that way.
There's a chocolate up there. There's, you know, a box of chocolate.
Well, that's the way you want to play. But basically, that enthusiasm that he wants to opt to go uphill. Maybe he's given that mindset that this is unhealthy and I want to lose some weight, and then he'll go for the uphill. And another way of putting it is, you've got stairs and you've got a lift.
Okay.
How can you make that person who's overweight or unfit want to opt to go to the stairs and not the lift?
I don't know.
So that's what we're developing.
Play some chocolates and eat step. Subhanallah, my respected brothers and viewers, moving on to our next segment. Today we have, mashallah, Nigrani Shura, Damat Barakatum Al Aliya. Let's see what he has, which message he has for us today. Sallu ala al Habib,
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad,
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
سگریٹ پینے والے تو اپنے حال پہ بھی رحم کریں اور اس قوم اور امت کے حال پہ بھی رحم کریں. سگریٹ پیتے پیتے سو گئے تو وہ بستر پر آگ لگے.
اسپیشلی جو لوگ سگریٹ پیتے ہیں ان کے بچے ان چیزوں کو بہت زیادہ پک کرتے ہیں, اور اگر ان کے ہاتھ میں ماچس لگ جائے تو وہ عموماً ایسا ہی کرتے ہیں کہ وہ کسی کونے میں, کسی اسٹور میں, کسی ڈرائنگ روم میں جا کے کونے میں چھپ کے ماچس کی تیلیاں ایک منہ میں لگا کے اور ایک سے جلا رہے ہوتے ہیں, اور ایسی صورت حال کے اندر عموماً ایسے حادثات ہوتے ہیں.
اسی طرح آپ نے دیکھا ہوگا کہ بیڈ, آپ کا جو بستر ہے بیڈ ہوتا ہے, آج کل بیڈ میں بھی الیکٹرانک چیزیں, جیسے الیکٹرانک وائرنگ ہوتی ہے, بلب لگائے, روشنی لگائے, خوبصورتی کے لیے ہوتی ہے. اس پر تھوڑا سا غور کر لیجیے گا. میں احتیاطاً ایک بات عرض کر رہا ہوں, اس پہ غور کر لیجئے گا. آپ سوئے ہوئے ہیں اور آپ کے اسی بستر کے اندر جو الیکٹرانک تار بچھی ہوئی ہیں, آپ روشنی چاہتے ہیں, وہ خوبصورتی کے لیے میں کہہ رہا ہوں. یہ خوبصورتی کے لیے بعضوں کا لوگ لگاتے ہیں, ڈیزائننگ کے لیے لوگ لگاتے ہیں, اور صرف توجہ دلانے کے لیے عرض کر رہا ہوں. غور کر لیجئے, اگر آپ کو میری بات سمجھ میں آتی ہو تو بچنے کی کوشش کیجئے گا کہ برائے کرم اس طرح کم از کم جس بستر پر آپ سوئے ہوئے ہیں اس بستر کو تو الیکٹرانک تار سے دور رکھیے, وائرنگ سے دور رکھیے, اور اگر بلب جلانا ہے تو میں مشورہ یہ دوں گا آپ ٹارچ اپنے ساتھ رکھیے. امیر اہل سنت میرے پیارے باپا جان پیر و مرشد اپنے بستر کے ساتھ ٹارچ رکھتے ہیں, بالکل ٹارچ رکھتے ہیں, عادتاً ٹارچ رکھتے ہیں کہ وہ روشنی کے لیے ٹارچ کا استعمال کرتے ہیں. تو بجلی سے جو شارٹ سرکٹ ہوتے ہیں, پھر ہمارے یہاں جس طرح کے یہ بورڈ بنے ہوئے ہوتے ہیں, لٹکے ہوئے بورڈ بنے ہوئے ہوتے ہیں, جس طرح کا ہمارا نظام بنا ہوا ہے, تارے یقین مانے کمزور ہوتی ہیں, وولٹیج کا کوئی پتہ نہیں ہوتا کب اپ ڈاؤن ہو جائے, کوئی شارٹ سرکٹ ہو جائے, اب بستر پہ لیٹے لیٹے آگ لگے, آگ فوراً چادر کو پکڑے گی, بلینکٹ کو پکڑے گی, تکیے کو پکڑے گی, روئی ہے, فوم ہے, بہت ساری چیزیں ہیں, پھر لکڑی ہے چاروں طرف بستر, تو اس طرح کیسے ہوگا بتائیے.
جتنے بھی پوائنٹس اپنے گھر کے اندر بناتے ہیں, چاہے وہ بلب کا ہولڈر ہو, چاہے وہ بورڈ ہو, چاہے وہ ساکٹس ہو, ہم وہاں پہ کوئی نہ کوئی ڈیکوریشن کی چیز رکھ دیتے ہیں. جب بھی کبھی وولٹیج اپ اینڈ ڈاؤن ہوتے ہیں، وولٹیج ہائی ہو جاتے ہیں، اس بورڈ میں آگ لگتی ہے، جب اس بورڈ سے جلتی ہوئی پلاسٹک نیچے گرتی ہے تو نیچے رکھی ہوئی تمام چیزوں کو آگ لگاتی ہے۔
الیکٹرک بورڈ کو ہمیں چاہیے کہ ہم اس کو اوپن رکھیں، احتیاطی تدابیر یہی ہیں آگ سے بچنے کی۔ خدا نہ خواستہ اگر اس میں آگ لگتی ہے تو ہمیں وہ سامنے ظاہر ہو جائے،
چاہے گھروں میں آگ لگنے کے واقعات ہوں، دفتر فیکٹریز کے اندر آگ لگنے کے واقعات ہوں، تو اس میں بہت زیادہ جو چیز سامنے کھل کر آئی وہ معلومات کی کمی اور بے احتیاطی۔
ڈی سی پی ہمارے یہاں ایک ایزی ریسورس ہے، فائر فائٹنگ کا ایک ایلیمنٹس ہے جس کو ہم استعمال کر سکتے ہیں، اور اگر یہ بھی میسر نہیں ہے تو ہم بجری کا استعمال، مٹی کا استعمال کر کے اس آگ کو بجھا سکتے ہیں، لیکن مین سوئچ جو ہے اس کو لازمی لازمی ڈسکنیکٹ کریں۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم۔ What we just had there, that's what I'm going to ask you.
Just being precautious, basically.
I didn't get a complete because...
Yeah, the sound wasn't brilliant here, but they were mentioning about being precautious.
I think it was fine on the screen, there's no problem with
that. Yeah, we were having difficulty, but I think there was being precautious about when you go into bed and how, and what you keep with you, for example, and they mentioned regarding cigarettes and the bed being ignited, etc.
Right.
And sometimes you have like fancy things near, you know, as decoration pieces, yeah, but they can ignite quickly. And near the end, it was like fire extinguishers or some kind of.
You see, we've had problems even within this country, within the United Kingdom, you know, with fire. Arson attacks, and that's obviously arson, but it's purposely done, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is talking.
This
about
is like, for example, you've got accidental
electric wires,
like electric wires overloading plug sockets, etc.
Right.
And then you've got like a lot of people use here, especially in winter, electric blankets.
Right.
And then before they go to sleep, they don't turn them off, and sometimes they can ignite and.
Yeah,
and
you do generally deal with this sort of stuff as well, don't you? So electric blankets.
It should be switched off on a night, definitely. You know, TK is there. You know, you put it on and it'll warm the bed and etc. But some people fall, they fall asleep while it's on.
I've never heard of an electric blanket.
Have you not?
No, never.
Oh, it's very common.
Well, not for me.
Very common, yes. No, yeah. Especially here in the UK, because in winter we have strong winter and it's cold. So it's basically a blanket and it's got cables in within it. And
right,
you plug it in and it
so there's a lot of problems up with electric blankets.
Yeah, I think anything...
Does it cause a fire?
It can cause a fire, yes. If whether it's with daily use, etc., you know, something becomes the cable or anything gets damaged, and then you have overheating. I mean, another typical example: mobile phone charges.
Yeah.
A lot of people leave the mobile phones on the charging through the night. Now, when you take your phone off charge, you touch the plug. Sometimes it's hot and it's warm. So
right,
that warm is calling out to you and saying that look. Yeah, I do warm and I could ignite. So it's,
is that what you're saying?
In a sense, yes, it is. But it's getting hot and it's warm, you're touching and it's getting hot. Well, it's giving you a silent message, isn't it? That I'm getting warm, I'm getting hot, I can ignite.
Yeah, you're brilliant at this, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. But do you get fires due to this?
You can do, yeah, definitely. And in fact, around me, I've seen cables which are damaged, and people have got sellotape. They all buy a new charger, a new cable, a new wire. They put sellotape around it. You've probably seen this. I don't know if you've experienced having
one of that. But it's still covered, isn't it?
Yeah, it's dangerous, isn't it? Why do they, you know, on electronic devices?
Yes.
If you read through the instructions and the manual, it actually mentions that if any cable becomes loose, unattached or damaged, get it replaced. Don't use it with that damaged cord or cable, etc.
Right.
Why that warning is there for a reason, but we turn a blind eye to it. And it's these little bits of, I don't know what you call it, laziness or neglect, I think,
neglect
more than anything else, that, you know, some of these incidents happen, and there's many, you know, you see, a lot of these don't get highlighted. If you went into the history of, you know, the amount of incidents and accidents and even fires, if you went down into like things that happen to do with health and safety, etc., because it's a topic that a lot of people don't sort of like study about, but if you did, you'd find a lot of neglect.
And it's, you know,
and it's
something
causing
should,
a lot of problems, and maybe problems,
even lives. Definitely lives.
Yeah.
If you look into it, there's a lot of lives that are put at risk and then even taken due to this neglect.
Just due to neglect and, of and electrical
then,
items.
Exactly. And then when you think life, and then you think cable, you know, which is easier to.
SubhanAllah. You know. Now we don't have very long left. We've only got a few minutes. I'll give you 3 minutes to survive. A last point and then an overview. Another point of how to develop our love for worship.
I mean, I was mentioning about our pious predecessors and reading up about them and how they performed, and that it gives you an uplift. It gives you that boost, and it mentioned that our predecessors, they used to be so. You see, one is reading your own salah, one is reading the congregation. Now, their immense jazba of reading the congregation was such. That it mentioned in their times, if the blacksmith, you know, is beating the metal, so if he lifted his hammer up to strike the metal, and the azan took place, he would not smack that metal; he'd put the hammer away. That was their jazba. And the shoesmith, if he put the needle through leather or material, whatever he was sewing, and the azan was called. He wouldn't even pull it out yet. It was so easy that he could just pull it out. And the hammer, he's lifted it, he's about to strike the metal. He only needs to drop it, it's like the downhill. He didn't need to lift it up, does he? That's the difficult, that's the uphill. But even when it comes to the downhill, they even saw that as delays. That was their jazba. So they would not continue, they'd rush towards the masjid, they put it aside and rush towards the masjid. This was their ego, and then this was their desire. So by listening and learning these things and reading up on our actions of our predecessors, it gives that uplift, and it increases or encourages that desire in a person. And we're talking about namaz. For example, we're talking about namaz. These are like compulsion. You know, earlier on you were mentioning that, you know, the Ayatul Kursi and the Tasbih Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, etc. These are extra. Now, if we read up about pious predecessors, not just daytime, see, their worships were in the night while people are sleeping. And because look, through the day you're doing any type of worship, you've got people looking. You've got means and ways of how Satan tricks a person, and those worships are wasted. Yes. But on a night, nobody's watching, nobody knows what you're doing. It's just you communicating with your Creator.
Your Lord, isn't it?
And our pious predecessors, when you look into their lifestyles and their actions and you read up upon them, you see that a lot of their worship, or majority of their worship, used to be in the night. And their love and immense emotions towards Salah and towards the recitation of the Quran was huge. And I'll just mention this very short message. It was Hazrat Sayyidina Jabir mentioned regarding this, that once we were on in the journey, we probably come back from a battle or this sort of situation, and they were coming back, and there were some mountainous area that they were passing through.
Right.
And the Prophet ﷺ instructed that we're going to rest here. So everybody, you know, started to settle, and they were going to rest. The Prophet ﷺ announced that who is going to keep guard. So two companions, one of those blessed companions who had migrated, and one of the Ansar, they stood up and said, "Can we have the chance that we stay guard?" So they were granted. So the rest of the companions, they all went and rested. These two companions, they decide that one of us will keep guard, one of us will rest half of the night, and then vice versa. Now, the one who was to stand guard, he stands guard for a little while, the other one goes to sleep. Whilst he's standing guard, then he starts his salah and starts reciting a surah. From the enemy's side, somebody comes up and peeps up on the mountain, and he can see, all he can see is this one companion, and he's reading salah. So he pulls an arrow, a bow and arrow, and he fires an arrow which strikes that companion. But this companion doesn't even move at all. He's pierced into his body.
Allah.
He's injured, but he doesn't move at all. He's continuing with his salah and his recitation.
Subhanallah.
So he takes another arrow, shoots that as well, also pierces into this companion.
You do it brilliantly. with elegance.
Still no movement.
Right.
Then a third arrow he takes, an arrow, and he finds it, and that also pierces into this companion. Still no movement. This companion continues with his salah, does his ruku and sujood, and then he wakes his companion up. And the companion, when he sees this, and obviously the enemy, when he's seen that there's other people here nearby, so then he goes away. Now the companion who was sleeping says, why didn't you tell me when you were being attacked? Why didn't you wake me up? And he says that, because I was reading salah, and I was reciting so and so surah, I didn't feel, that I break my salah and stop reciting that surah.
Allah, Allah.
And if it wasn't because of me being instructed on this duty by the Prophet ﷺ, I would have given my life and continued that surah. I wouldn't stop until I finished that surah. That was that jazbah.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah khairan, mashallah, to Surah, for giving us time also. Mashallah, you've given us beautiful Madani pearls. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly bless you. Malaysian brothers and viewers of the channel, remember to keep this on your mind, that you must rise and shine. How do you rise and shine? By sending salutations upon the greatest of mankind. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad
sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.